All right. Well, it's definitely in a funeral, that's for sure. Amen. I just left a Free Will Baptist funeral. Amen. So, and definitely tell we're not in a funeral. Amen. But thank y'all for letting us come. I appreciate you praying for us. Amen. And got to come. I appreciate the Lord helping us get here. If you live in Columbia, they don't need to go back to Columbia. It's washed away. I'm telling you, we had a storm in Columbia. I am telling you, it was a monsoon down there. And so we would have got here a little bit early except for that, and traffic was backed up on the interstate. But anyway, thank the Lord we got here and walked right into a great, great, great atmosphere, great singing. Appreciate all the good singing. Amen. I left up to me, I'd sing the rest of the night. Amen. But I'm not the pastor. Amen. But I got the opportunity today to preach a funeral. A lady started coming to our church years ago. And she was in a Free Will Baptist church, and she started coming to our church. And to make a long story short, I have a sermon, and I mentioned her in that sermon, if maybe you've heard it. But she would come and listen to me preaching, and when I hit on some points she didn't agree with, she sat right behind my wife. And when I'd hit on some points she didn't agree with, such as being eternally saved, she would say, "I don't believe that," out loud. I mean, my wife could hear it. And she'd punch her husband and said, "I don't believe that." And so, I mean, she sat there for years. I don't think I'd be exaggerating, 10 years. 10 years she sat there disagreeing with some things I preached on. But she kept coming, kept coming, kept coming. Well, long story short, they put her in the hospital and she was dying, put in the ICU. He called me up and said, "Preacher," said, "my wife's not settled about being saved." Said, "Would you come and talk to her?" And I got over there at the hospital and walked in. She was in ICU. And any of y'all heard this story? I think you have. Some of you have. I walked in. I said, "Ms. Dyson," I said, "I come to visit you and understand you're not settled about your salvation." She said, "Preacher, I just don't know if I died. I don't know where I'd go." So I give her some scripture. I said, "Well, the Bible said, first of all, you got to know your sin. All the sin comes short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one." I said, "Ms. Dyson, you got to see yourself as you're a lost sinner." She said, "Preacher, I know I'm not. I know I've done wrong things in my life, but I don't see myself like you say I am." I said, "Well, it's not what I said; it's what the Bible said." She was in ICU now. I said, "It's not what I said; it's what the Bible said." And she said, "Well, I don't see myself as being all that bad." I said, "Well, you can't get saved." And so we went around with that a little while. And I am telling you, Brother Jeff, all of a sudden, it was nothing but the Holy Ghost. She said, she started crying. She broke down and started crying. She said, "Preacher." I said, "What?" She said, "I see it. I see it." I said, "What do you see?" She said, "I am lost. I am lost. I do need to be saved." And so anyway, long story short, she called on the Lord in ICU and got saved. I tell you how saved she got in ICU. When she got saved, here's what she said. She said, "I'm saved. I'm saved. I'm saved." And I was right, we were right outside the desk. I mean, I said, "You got to quiet down." I normally try to tell them to shout it out. But I am telling you, she started shouting in ICU, "I'm saved, I'm saved." So I went home about 50 miles from the house. I went back maybe 2 days later. They had her in a room. I walked in the room, and she was laying in the room. And me and my wife stepped in the door. Here's what she said, "I'm saved. I'm saved." They heard her down the hall. Now I'm telling you, this ain't no Phil Kidd store, this is Alfred Willis store. Somebody help me. Is anybody listening? My wife was there. Is anybody listening? Are we on candid camera? Is anybody listening? Hey, she got at the hospital and went home. I went to see her at the house, walked in the back door. Me and my wife stayed in the back door. Said, "I'm saved! I'm saved!" Every time you saw her, she started screaming, "I'm saved! I'm saved!" 82 years old. She come to church. She come to church. She got physically able enough to come to church. This is better than my message. Forget my message. She physically got able to come to church. She'd come to church. She sat on that same pew where she always said, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. She said, preacher, before church starts today, could I say something? I said, yes, ma'am. I'm saved. I'm saved. Her brother-in-law had a part in the funeral today, and he said Mary had a drastic change in her life about 3 years ago, and that's when I led her to the Lord. And she was a millionaire. She never did get the tithe, though. I regret that part, amen. Is anybody listening? Is anybody listening? There was an experience. I got to preach her funeral today. I mean a good crowd. I told them that exact story I just told you. 82 years old. They give the land. Her and her husband give the land. I mean a beautiful big old church out there outside of Turbyville. A beautiful church out there. Land and all kinds. They give the land that church is built on. Here's what I told them in the funeral. You can give land. You can go to church. You can be a good member. You can do everything looks right and still be lost. Amen, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. So I got to preach that funeral. That was a blessing, wasn't it? The pastor didn't preach. Pastor didn't even preach. Me and her brother-in-law preached the funeral. And the man who's the hospice chaplain sang the psalm. So we've had a good day. Praise God. I'm glad to be here. I'm about starved. This ain't going to be a long message. Praise God. Ain't the Lord good? I am telling you that God would save us and then let us preach the gospel. Man, this is wonderful. It's wonderful. Praise the Lord. All right, well, let's turn to John chapter 7 tonight. John chapter 7, if you'd turn there. I say God is good all the time. Praise the Lord. I bet all the good tithes is gone. I bet y'all done picked out all the pretty tithes. I think we ought to get them tithes. Brother Robert, I ain't telling you how to run your meeting. But I think we ought to give them tithes away last. I guess I started out to say this. I apologize for being late. I am not some big time preacher that comes in and preaches and leaves. I like to get here for the preaching. I would give you a dime for a preacher that comes in and preaches and he ain't got time to hear preaching. I just ain't of that caliber. I like to get there for the preaching, amen. And I like to be there after I preach and hear other preaching, amen. I'm just trying to tell you that's me, amen. I don't even know what I'm doing here, honestly, other than the pastor invited me, amen. I'm scared to death when I get up here like this. That's why I'm talking a lot. I'm nervous. And when I get nervous, I talk a lot. So, but I pray the Lord to help us tonight. I do feel like this is what the Lord wants me to preach. I really do. Amen. So if you'll turn to John chapter number 7, I'm going to read in about three different places, just one verse, and then give you my thought for tonight. Amen. If you're physically able to stand, if you'd stand, all of these verses is in John. John chapter number 7. Good to see you, good brethren. I got some of my best friends in the meeting tonight. God bless all you good brethren, all you good people at Welcome Baptist Church. Y'all make us feel so wonderful. Praise the Lord. John chapter 7, let's look in verse number 30. The Bible said, then they sought to take him, but no man laid hands on him because his hour was not yet come. And then John chapter number 8 and verse number 20. John 8 verse number 20. And the Bible said, these words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. And then John chapter 17, and verse number 1. John 17, verse 1. These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege we've had to come and be in this service tonight. Lord, it is exciting to walk in this place. God, the good singing and the good specials and the good spirit that, God, we've enjoyed. Thank you, God, for what you've already done, God, through the men of God preaching and, Lord, the good songs tonight and all the festivities going on for the last few days. We praise you for it. May we leave different, God. May we leave with a a greater desire and a greater burden to live and do all that you'd have us to do. Lord, if I could say anything tonight to help anybody, I pray you'd help me to do that. I'm not here again to be an entertainer nor a performer, but God, to try to say something to challenge our heart to be more for God. Would you do that tonight through this frail vessel? And God, we'll thank you and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Try to preach tonight on that thought. The hour is come. Jesus said, the hour is come. In verse number 6, chapter 17, verse 1, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. So he talks about an hour. He talks about a particular time. Amen. I know God's not limited by time, but I believe God does work on a time schedule. He said in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son. And so God is not bound by time, but yet God sometimes or many times works on a time schedule. Now, I don't want to sound charismatic when I say this, but He said, the hour is come. And you know, when I was thinking about that, I was thinking about there are certain times in life that we make decisions that will affect our a whole destiny. So I guess it was an hour of destiny. I don't want to be charismatic when I say that, because I think they use that a lot, but it was an hour of destiny. When Israel come up to Kadesh Barnea, and they made that decision, amen, not to cross over, it was an hour of destiny. In other words, because they did not do what God led them up to, the rest of their life was spent in the wilderness going around in circles. And so what that decision that they made at that particular point affected the rest of their life. And I think God lets that work in our lives. There are crises or there are times that come in our life, and God calls on us to make a decision. And if we don't make the right decision, it will affect the rest of our life. Somebody give me an amen on that. Matter of fact, they did not go in. And a little bit later in that same chapter, the Bible said they presume to go up. God said, go up, but I'm not going with you. And so I believe time frames come in our life that we make a decision, and it depends on that decision what the rest of our life will be. Amen and amen. Now the Bible said here, He said, in this hour I might glorify thee. He said, the hour has come that I might glorify thee. Now, we know Jesus, everything He did glorified God. I mean, everything Christ did glorified God. But there was a particular hour for which He was talking about as no other hour that He was going to glorify God. Amen. And that had to do with the cross. That's what He's talking about. The hour has come. The hour to embrace why I came to planet Earth. The hour of the cross. Amen. Now I believe there's an hour for which you were born. I believe that hour, the Bible said, glorify, that we might glorify God. The Bible said, for all of sin comes short of the glory of God. And so I believe there's an hour that comes in all of our lives that God deals with us about salvation. And when we accept Christ, it glorifies God. Somebody help me right there now. Amen and amen. So I remember that night. I remember that night I walked in that building. I probably tell about every time I preach. I walked in that building, sat down in that back row, probably 400 people in that building, and the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart on that back row. And I run down that aisle, and I slid into that altar, and I got up saved, and I've been saved ever since. And God turned the whole direction of my life. Amen. From alcohol and a busted up family, God put it all back together. And I'm here tonight because of that hour, I made the right decision to accept Jesus Christ. Hey, that hour could happen to you tonight. I preached long enough to know in a crowd this big, 2,000 people in the church tonight, I preached long enough to know, somebody help me, it looks like 2,000. That you could have walked in here tonight lost, and you can leave saved. Right. Amen. You walked in ruined, you can leave redeemed. Amen. Amen. You walked in backslid, you can walk out blessed of God. Amen. Amen and amen. So there's an hour that comes in our life to be saved. Amen. Now, I don't really know that I can say this. I guess I thought it. If I don't get saved tonight, I probably never get saved. I don't know that would have been true. But I'm thanking God, Brother Robert, I got saved that day. Who knows what I had another chance? Who knows if you'd have had another chance if you hadn't got saved that night? That God would have given you another chance to be saved. I'm glad in that hour that night, December the 7th, 1972, at 9:15 on a Thursday night, I run down an aisle, slid into the altar, and got saved. Amen. Praise God. But then there's an hour for which you were born again. Now God is working in the time frame. Now that you're born again, God has an hour for you that could determine your destiny as a child of God. Now He didn't just save you to take you to heaven. Amen and amen. He saved you with a purpose in mind. And if you don't come to that hour, you will never realize what God really saved you for. Amen and amen. I want to mention a few things about that hour tonight. Number one, in this hour, the good He'd been doing was not to be confused with the main thing for why He came. Get that point. In this earth, in this hour, hey, don't confuse this hour with the main purpose for which God, for which He came in, the world. That is, in His earthly ministry, He fed the hungry. In His earthly ministry, He healed the sick. In His earthly ministry, He gave sight to the blind. In His earthly ministry, He even raised the dead. But that's not why He came. And all of those are good things. And all of those are marvelous things. But that's not why Jesus came. Could that be true of you? Could you be going to church? Could you be giving your money? Could you be singing in the choir? Could you be teaching Sunday school? But you're not doing the main thing for which God called you to do. Amen and amen. Hey, these good things will not suffice for the main thing. Amen and amen. I remember when God dealt with me about preaching. I didn't surrender to preach but 7 years after God saved me. I worked in the church. Matter of fact, I worked hard in the church. I tell you, I drove a bus. I started driving a bus and after I got saved. And God did do a radical work in my life when I got saved. And so everybody was saying, oh, you're going to be a preacher. You're going to be a... I didn't want to be no preacher. I really didn't want to be no preacher. I didn't want to be a preacher. I done figured this thing out. Honest to God, no laugh at this. I'm not saying this to be funny. I didn't want to be a preacher because I knew if you were going to be a preacher, you had to study. And I didn't like studying. I didn't like studying in school. And I done saw in the church I was in 7 years. I watched my pastor, and I knew you had to study if you was going to preach. I was in a meeting years ago, and a preacher got up, and he said, I'll tell you what I did. I took all my commentaries, and I put them on the desk, and I raked them off the end of the desk, and they fell in a trash can. And when he got through preaching, I wanted to go get them and give them back to him. Somebody help me. I could tell he wasn't studying. I didn't like to study. And I said, God, if I surrender to preach, and God was nudging me about preaching, but I didn't want to preach because I'd rather cut grass. I'm telling you the truth. I'll tell you, sometimes I sit in my study. Y'all call me carnal, call me honest. I sit in my study sometimes, and I watch them out there cutting the grass, the church grass. I want to get out the office and go out there and ride the lawnmower. I'd rather cut grass than study. Amen and amen. So I got busy. I started driving a bus. I become the secretary of the church. I started teaching Sunday school. We had a Bible Institute in the church. I wasn't even called to preach. I started going to the Bible Institute. I got real busy because I didn't want to preach. I'll tell you what happened. God said, that's what I saved you for. And I remember never forget the night that the missionary come to our church. And I remember he got up and preached. And I'm going to tell you what, I remember that night when I stepped out. I had my bags packed in my mind. I was going to Tabernacle College up in Greenville. And when I stepped out that night, I stepped out knowing I'm quitting my job. I'm going to Greenville and I'm going to Tabernacle. I never made it there. The moment I stepped out to preach, God opened the door for me to go start a church. Y'all say what you want. I'll just tell you what happened to me. Amen and amen. But God knew I was willing. So the hour comes for which you were born again. And doing all the good things you're doing is not going to suffice for the main thing God called you to do. I don't know if this camp meeting preacher. This is what God told me to preach. Amen and amen. Number two, in this hour, it was going to have great cost to it. If Jesus was going to do in this hour what he came to do, it was going to have a great cost to it. Hey, somebody told Mr. Moody, he said, I'd give the world to be like you, Mr. Moody. He said, that's exactly what it cost you. Amen. If you're going to realize that, hey, in this hour, hey, a decision, if you're going to do what God calls you to do, it's going to cost you something. Amen. I'll tell you what he said over in the book of Philippians, chapter number 2. Here's what he said. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be with God, but he made himself of no reputation and took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. I'm simply saying in this hour, it was going to have great cost to it. Are you listening? Hey, spirituality does not come without cost. Jesus chose to. He made himself of no reputation. He chose to do that. And I'm going to tell you, there's probably somebody sitting in this building tonight. No doubt in my mind, that's why I'm preaching this. There's somebody sitting in this building tonight. Hey, you've come to an hour in your life that you're going to have to make a major decision if you're going to fulfill what God's called you to do. I kind of had down a couple of weeks ago when I was going to preach tonight, and I went to a fellowship meeting yesterday we had down in the Low Country, and the last speaker that night, and I won't say this for any glory but God's glory, the last preacher that got up to preach last night, Brother Jonathan Hickman. I had preached this message somewhere and years ago, and Jonathan Hickman got up to preach last night, and Jonathan Hickman come to me, and this is what he said. He said, Brother Willis, he said, you know why I'm preaching? And of course, it all had to do with his pastor and sitting on his pastor, going to his church, but he got in a camp meeting like this. Hey, major, big decision. Decisions made in jubilees. Big decisions made in camp meetings. And he said, he was, and I'll never forget it, it was up at Galilee Baptist Church outside of Monroe, North Carolina. And I got up and preached on, hey, the hour's come. And Jonathan Hickman walked down the aisle and nailed the altar and gave it all to God. And tonight he's preaching the gospel. Amen. Could it be somebody here tonight? This is the hour for you. You're teaching Sunday school, you're driving a bus, you're doing everything you ought to do, but I'm going to tell you what, that will not suffice for why God has really saved you. Amen. Amen. Maybe a mission field tonight. Hello. Hey, you used to go to camp meeting, jubilees, people surrender to preach, people surrender to go to mission field. Somebody help me, amen. Hey, you're doing good things, you're doing great things, but that's not going to suffice for what God has really saved you for. Amen and amen. It could cost you some good things. Hey, if you're going to do the will of God in this house, it's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you some heartache. It's going to cost you being misunderstood. Why would you walk off of that $100,000 a year job to do what God's called you to do? Because I want to do what God's called me to do. Hey, Jesus did all these great things. But had he not did this thing, it would have all been in vain. Hallelujah. Hey, it may cost, I'll tell you what it cost Jesus, heaven. This hour cost him heaven. Hey, it cost Abraham his son. Is anybody listening? Hey, I over there, Genesis 22, I never understood this, but I think I got a little handle on it. Hey, they're walking up the mountain. Him and Isaac walking up the mountain. I was saying, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? And they get up on the mountain, and you know the story. Abraham raises the dagger. He's going to slay his son. And all of a sudden, he hears a noise behind him, and he looks behind him, and there's a ram. And I often wondered, y'all, just a simple mind, I have a simple mind now. I often wondered, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb? But that ain't a lamb, that's a ram. I thought that was deep for me. Y'all got it figured out, evidently. But I said, he's asking for a lamb, and there's a ram. So I got me a little dictionary and I opened up the dictionary, and the dictionary said that a ram is a grown lamb. And here's what I got out of this. Hey, when you do the will of God, God will give you more than what you ask for. The ram is bigger than the lamb. Hey, I'm trying to tell you, when you get in the will of God, He'll give you more than you ever dreamed you'd have.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Amen and amen. Hey, Abraham had to give up his son to do the will of God. Jesus had to give up him. Joseph and Mary had to give up the pleasures of marriage for about a year. They did not have physical reunion for a year to do the will of God. You're going to have to give up some good things to do the will of God. Hello, somebody help me. I'm simply saying to us tonight, hey, Jesus had to give up his location. He left heaven for this hour. This is the hour for which he left heaven. He did not leave heaven to come raise the dead. He did not leave heaven to cure the sick. He left heaven to go to a cross. Amen. Does anybody listen? He had to give up his location. Amen. He had to give up some limitations. Hey, when he was in heaven, he could only be one place at a time. Or he could be everywhere at one time. But when he come to earth, he could only be in one place at a time. Well, y'all listen. If you go realize the plan of God for your life, you're going to have to limit yourself to something. I'm just be honest with you. Don't feel sorry for me. But because I'm a preacher, I can't do some things my church members can do. I'm not talking about sinning. Just because I'm realizing the plan of God in my life, that I have to limit myself to some things. Amen and amen. Be so good as some of you preachers do that. Hello. Amen and amen. Hey, he had to give up his lifestyle or change his lifestyle. Hey, he was in heaven being adored, but he come to earth to be cursed. Hey, your lifestyle will change. It's going to cost you some things to realize in this house to fulfill what God has called you and saved you for. Hey, you may have to change your lifestyle. Amen and amen. Hey, you may have to change your looks. Help me, y'all. Hey, the Bible said in the book of Philippians chapter 2, he was in the form of God. He was a spirit. But when he come to do what God called him to do for this house, he took upon himself a body. Hey, he changed his looks. And y'all know some of y'all, I get accused all the time. Every message Brother Willis, every message you preach, you got to get in them thing about how people dress and how people look. Amen. You know why I'm doing it double time, overtime? Because a bunch of y'all don't never do it. Somebody. Amen. Anybody help me, Brother Tommy? Help. He had to change his looks. By the way, he did it permanently. He will never be in the form of God again. At the right hand of God is the man, Christ Jesus. He will always be a man. Amen. Hey, you know, I just tell you down at Life After Church, I claim in spite of me, we got a pretty good church. We got problems like everybody else. But you know how they come in and you preach and they start lining up with what you preach. But the first time they get mad, they leave. And the next time you see them uptown, they look just like they used to look. Somebody help me right there. You know what they changed for the preacher? They didn't change for God. Amen. Jesus changed permanently. He will always look now like the man Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. My point is simply this. In this hour, it's going to cost you something. We are living in a day of cheap Christianity in America. Don't inconvenience me. Don't give me nothing hard to do. I was reading a book about the Communist Party, and here's what the Communist Party said. It's a bunch there, but here's what they said. They give big orders. They give costly orders. Are you listening to me? We are in a church age today. Don't inconvenience me, preacher. Don't tell me something that I don't want to do. Hey, your flesh don't want to do nothing that God wants you to do. I'm just simply saying to us tonight, hey, Jesus Christ, bail and bring cause to fulfill the hour for which God had called him to do. Hey, in this hour, he would give his greatest contribution. What are you trying to say? He had helped multitudes with temporal relief. But in this hour, he would create an eternal good. Are you listening to me? Lazarus was raised from the dead by the Son of God. He went down to the graveyard and he said, Lazarus, come forth! And Lazarus come floating out the grave. I don't think he walked out. He's wrapped up like a mummy. You tell me how he got out. I think he floated out. That'd just be my estimation. I do know tonight that God called me from the dead. I felt like I floated out the building. Hallelujah. I come down to earth about 3 days later. I felt like all them burdens of sin got lifted off of me. Somebody. And I just floated out the building. Amen. I come down to earth about 3 days later. I think old Lazarus come floating out. Amen. But you know what? He had to die again. And I'll tell you, that was marvelous. That was marvelous. Jesus in his earthly ministry called Lazarus from the dead. That ain't why he came though. He come to get him the second time from the dead. Somebody help me. And he'd never die again. Are y'all listening? Hey, our greatest help to our people is not physical help, but spiritual help. All of us pastors and all of us churches have people come to our churches. And one big reason they come, since we started that men's home, I stand amazed how evidently words got around. They say, well, that church down there helps people. And they must really believe it because they flock in now wanting help. It ain't spiritual help. But we do get to preach the gospel to them. Amen. We just have a qualification. Everybody does it different. I'm not here to preach that tonight. We just have a qualification. If I'm going to help you, you come into church. No, I ain't paying your light bill unless you come to church. Amen. I ain't giving you no food unless you come to church. Preacher, that's pretty hard-nosed, ain't it? Well, it ain't hard-nosed for us. We paying for it. Amen and amen. I put a lady in a trailer one time living in a car with five kids. She was living in a car with five children. I said, ma'am, we have a little camper back there on some land we've got, and we'll put you in that camper with those kids. It's not big, but it's a whole lot bigger than your car. And so she said, I said, here's the qualification for us to do that. You have to come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if we haven't anything else, you got to be there. Okay. Put her in there. She stayed in there 2 weeks. She called me up one day. She said, preacher, I need to talk to you. I said, all right. She said, I don't like the rules. I said, you don't like the rules? What do I mean? She said, I don't like this having to go to church. I said, well, you don't have to. Move out. I ain't trying to sound bad. I ain't big enough to be bad. I'm just trying to say, hey, if you don't like the rules, don't stay in the trailer. I don't even know how I got on that. I'm just simply saying this. Hey, our greatest help to people is not physical help. Our greatest help to people is spiritual help. And when Jesus went to the cross, he didn't only help them physically. He helped them spiritually. Amen. Hey, down in Acts chapter number 3, the Bible says, the man's down there at the gate, beautiful, begging alms. And Peter and James come by and said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. The Bible said a little bit later, he's a praising, leaping and a praising God. He got more than physical health. He got spiritual health. Hallelujah. By the way, he was asking for legs and God gave him arms. No, he was asking arms and God gave him legs. Somebody, you get that. That's what the black preacher said. Ain't nobody can preach like a black preacher, brother. But I believe in reincarnation. I can come back black. I'm telling you that's the truth. Y'all help me. In this hour, he'd been making a contribution. Amen. But in this hour, he was going to do more for people in this hour than he does in all the other hours. Amen and amen. I'm glad, thank God, he's touched my body. The Lord has touched my body. Hey, God, I'm a Baptist, but God has touched my body and God has healed me. But the greatest thing he ever did is when he touched my soul and saved me. Hallelujah. Hey, in this hour, he saw not only the cross, he saw the converts. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter number 12, y'all help me, church. Help me now. Hebrews chapter number 12, you know the verse. Wherefore, seeing when it comes about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, and this hour he looked beyond the cross. Amen. He looked beyond the cross about 2,000 years and saw Welcome Baptist Church sitting here tonight. Redeemed, singing about the blood of the Lamb, singing the praises of God. And he said, I'll go through all of that to see that. Amen. And you multiply that around the world, hey, millions and millions of times. He said, I tell you, I'm going to endure that cross, but I'll get beyond the cross because I see what's on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah to God. Amen and amen. He saw not only the cross and the pain, he saw the converts, the people. Hey, in 1 hour, in our hour, we normally have to experience some pain. Hey, if you're going to fulfill what God saved you for, you're going to have to deal with some pain. Are you listening to me? If you're going to see some people saved, you're going to have to endure some things. I'm not here to talk about that tonight, but we do have a home to help. Many of y'all support us, and God bless you for that. But we had a man in the home. Well, he didn't work out. He didn't get through the program. But his mom and daddy were very rough people, and his brother, very rough people. And they were living down in Charleston. And so we had took their son in, who's a crack addict. I mean, this boy is a crack addict. And we had took him in to try to help him in the home. But he didn't get the help he needed. He made a couple of professions, but he never got the real thing. And so how you know he didn't get the real thing? Because he ain't in charge. You ain't got enough to get you to church. You ain't got enough to get you to heaven. Amen. And so, but his daddy and mama was living on the street, sleeping in the park. And they called me up and they said, "Brother Willis, you helped our boy with his drug addiction. We don't have a place to stay. Could you give us a place to stay?" I said, "Ma'am," I said, "we don't have a place." I said, "The home is full." I said, "We don't have no facility to put you in." I said, I don't have a place to put you." And she said, "Brother Willis, we're sleeping on a park bench. Me and my son and my husband are sleeping on a park bench in Charleston." I said, "Ma'am, that breaks my heart, but I don't have any place to put you. I don't have no place to put you." And so hung up the phone. But the next day she called back. She said, "Brother Willis, could you please do something? I don't know what this does to y'all, but this tears my heart up, man. I mean, it tears my heart up, Brother Jeff. And I'm getting in a nice bed with clean sheets and pillows. Amen. And I'm thinking about somebody down there is asking me about time." And I said, I know some of you old Pharisees. "Well, they ought to sleep on a place. They probably living ungodly. They ought." I don't believe that. So I said, "Ma'am, I tell you, I would do anything." I said, "But I don't have a place to put you." And so I think if I don't want to exaggerate the story, and maybe they call back again. He called back the next time. He said, "Brother Willis, I hate to bother you with this." He said, "But you helped my boy. And could you do something?" I said, "Mr. Harry, I'm going to tell you what I got. I got a prayer room behind my house, behind my church. I said, it's got carpet on the floor. I said, it's better than a park bench. It don't have no restroom. It don't have nothing in it but carpet on the floor. I said, I can let you sleep there if you want to. It's softer than a park bench." And so he said, "I'll take anything." So he come up there, put his wife, a lady in the church, took his wife in, and I put him and his son in the prayer room sleeping on the carpet. I said, I'll go get you a few pillows, and you can have a pillow and carpet, and you can stay right there. Well, while he was there, he got up in the morning, him and his son, started going to the devotion for the men's home. Every morning and every night, we have devotion and we have Bible study. And they started going to that devotion and they started going to that Bible study. Well, lo and behold, long story short, all three of them got saved. Amen. I mean, they're from New Jersey. How you get from New Jersey to St. Stephen? That's a miracle. And their name is Pacelli. They got saved. All three of them got saved. Then his daughter's saved and her husband saved. A whole row of Pacellis. So he come to me and said, "Now, Brother Willis, I mean, he's been in this prayer room now for several months, sleeping in there. No bathroom." I said, "You go to the bathroom, you got to go into fellowship hall. You'll have to go over there in the men's dorm, take a shower. I mean, inconvenient, but better than a park bench." I don't want to bore you all with this story. It's going to cost you something to help people. And so he come to me and said, "Brother Willis, I got to get a job." I said, "You're right about that." He said, "Well, I'm a truck driver." He said, "I have a CDL. I said, "Well, praise God. We'll get you a job if you got a CDL. It'll be easy." He said, "But I got caught and arrested and they took it." I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "In order for that, they get my license back, I gotta pay a fine." I said, "How much is that?" He said, "I don't know." I said, "All right, let's go uptown where you got caught." We went uptown. We went into a town hall up there, and I went to the desk, and I said, "Ma'am, this is Harry Pacelli. He's 6'2" or 6'3", but maybe 6'4". He's 6'4", and I don't want to exaggerate, 6'3", and I'm 5'6". And so we stand at the desk. I said, "Ma'am, this is Harry Pacelli." And I said, he's come to pay a fine where y'all stopped him and took his life. About that time, the policeman walked through. And he looked at him. He said, "Mr. Pacelli." He said, "Yeah." He said, "What are you doing in this building?" He said, I come to pay a fine. He said, fine. He said, you on the bench. I got a bench warrant on you. I looked at Harry and he looked at me. I said, Harry, you didn't tell me you had a bench warrant. He said, I didn't know it, preacher. I said, officer, what you going to do? He said, I've got to arrest him. And he looked at me. And I don't want it to sound wrong. He said, but because you got that preacher standing there with you, I'm going to let you go. Amen. Oh, Harry, I'm telling you now, he ain't been saved but a few days. You hear me? He ain't like some of us old heads been saved for a long time. The man said, I'm going to let you go. That man, I'm telling you, he broke up with a grin from ear to ear. And then I looked at the lady. I said, ma'am, how much is his fine? She said, $600. I said, he owes $600? She said, yeah. I said, Harry, you got $600? I ain't trying to make this funny. I said, Harry, you got... He said, preacher, you know I ain't got no $600. I've been sleeping on a park bench. I ain't got a job. Where would I get $600 from? I said, that's what you got to have to get your license back. He said, I ain't got $600. He said, do you have it, preacher? That is what he said. Right there in front of that woman. Now, I had to do some quick thinking, brother. Help me, brother. You help me. I said, $600, Harry? And she said, that's what it's going to cost to get this fine paid. So I pulled out my credit card. And I put my credit card. I done this so many times. I done. Come on, y'all help me now. I done this so many times and been ripped off. Y'all may as well help me. I pulled out my credit card, put it on there. And so we got paid the bill. Went down to the driver's license place. Walked in the driver's license place. We get up to the counter. He said, ma'am, I've paid my fine. So long story short, she said, you have another fine. I said, where's that? She said, in North Charleston. I said, let's get in the car, Harry. We head up for North Charleston. That's another 30 miles. We get there. I got a moral of the story, all right? We get there. We walk in. The woman said, well, you owe $35. I said, Harry, you got $35? I ain't got no money. Credit card. I'm wearing up my credit card, man. Put my credit card there. Amen. So we paid that fine. We come back to the highway department. He walks up. He tells the lady. He said, all my fines is paid. She said, you know, on this thing it says that you have to have glasses. Said, you can't get a CTL without glasses. Because you have, on your driver's thing, you have to wear glasses. I said, Harry, you got glasses? He said, preacher, I ain't got no glasses. I said, Harry, I ain't buying no glasses. I'm just telling you, I ain't buying no glasses. She said, well, y'all go over to the doctor, go to the eyeglass place, get that checked out. So I said, get in the car, Harry. We drive over to the glass place. We walk in. I'm dead by this time now, Harry. He has high blood pressure. I didn't know that. He has high blood pressure. So he walks back there. He tells us that he's come for his physical, and they take him back there to run the eye test. He can't even see the chart. This is the God's honest truth, I'm telling you. This is the truth. He can't even see the chart. And you know what the doctor told him? He said, you know what I believe is wrong with you, sir? He said, I notice your blood pressure is pretty high. That's probably affecting your vision. That's why you can't see that chart. I'm going to go ahead and pass you anyway, because when your blood pressure comes back down, I believe you'll be able to see. He got a job. He's driving a truck tonight. He gave me back my $600, my $25, and he's got a job. And they're not living on a park bench. And they're not living... I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to help somebody, it's going to cost you something. Are you listening? The whole Pacelli rule. I'm talking about tattoos. I'm talking about messed up. Sitting on the road. Amen. In church. Testifying. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, if we're going to help somebody, it's going to cost. You know how Jesus helped us? It cost him his life. Amen and amen. Hey, in this hour, it's going to cost you something. Are you listening to me? In this hour, hey, he didn't see just the cross. He saw the convert. I'm telling you what. Thank God when I look out there and see them sitting on that pew, it's worth $600, $25, $6,000. Matter of fact, he's driving my truck. He is driving my truck tonight. I said, Harry, we're going to have to arrange getting you a truck. That's my truck. I give him a truck. I give him a credit card. Somebody help. It's going to cost you something to help somebody.
I loan my truck to one woman. This is the honest to goodness truth. Everything I'm telling you tonight, I don't have to keep saying that. I lent one woman my truck, didn't have nothing to drive, didn't have no way to get to church. I said, I'll lend you my truck. She wrecked it. This is the truth, Brother Jeff. She went to report the wreck, pulled up in the insurance parking lot to report the wreck, and had a wreck in the insurance parking lot. I said, ma'am, you need to give me my truck back. I was getting things in lawsuits in the mail. They suing me, and I wasn't even driving the truck. Somebody help me. If you're going to help somebody, it's going to cost you something. Are you listening to me? Hey, why do mamas keep having babies? I was standing in the hospital one night in the wee hours of the night, and they rolled this woman off the elevator saying, ah! Ah! I told my wife, I said, they need to give her a shot. She said, she can't have a shot. I said, why? She's having a baby. After all that pain, why would a woman have another baby? I'm going to tell you why. Because after the pain, she holds that joy. And that joy so outweighs that pain, they have another one. And then they have another one. And some have a bunch of them. Hey, all the pain, all the agony, all that we go through to see somebody sitting on a church pew saved by the grace of God because Jesus loved enough to die is worth it all. Are you listening? In this hour. Amen and amen. In this hour is the Father's will or failure in His will. Are you listening to me? Even this hour He was going to do the will of the Father. Matter of fact, He prayed about it. Look with me in Genesis. Look with me in Matthew chapter number 39. Matthew chapter number 26, verse 39. Notice He prayed about it. I'll tell you how big this hour was. He prayed about it. Jesus prayed for this hour. Here's what He prayed. He went a little further, fell on His face and prayed, saying, O Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thy will be done. I'll tell you, in this hour, it's going to cost you something. You're going to have to pray about it. You got to pray about the will of God. He prayed about the will of God. Look in verse number 43. And He came and found them sleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Hey, in this hour, you have to pray not only for the will of God, you have to pray for wayward people. He asked Peter, James, and John, the inner circle, He asked them to pray for Him, and He went back and they sleep. They wavered. I'm telling you, if you do the will of God, you're going to deal with some wayward people, and if you don't pray, you will not fulfill the hour for which God has called you for. Look a little bit further. Look in verse number 51. And Jesus went, and Jesus said unto them, Friend, wherefore art thou come? And then came they and laid bands on Jesus and took Him. Here's His enemy, the wicked, calling Him friend. But He called Him friend. Hey, in this hour, you're going to have to pray. You're going to have to pray for the will of God. You're going to have to pray for wayward people that will hinder you. And you're going to have to pray for wicked people that will sell you out. Jesus called Judas friend. You will never fulfill, and I tell you, here's what I'm finding out, Brother Buster. I'm finding out if you go fulfill what God called you for, there's going to be people that come in your life that try to stop you from doing what God's called you to do. I realize that more. I'm 69 years old. I realize that more today, Brother Halford, than I've ever realized it. What is that? That, hey, you're going to have to pray if you're going to realize this hour. Pray you don't get tripped up. You know what I read? Here's what I read in a Berkeley County book. I went to the library and got me a book. And this is what I read. It said the reason a bird can sleep on a limb and not fall off. You ever seen a bird sleep at night? And this is what it said. The reason he can sleep on that limb at night and not fall off is because every time he bends his knees, there's something in his tendon that causes his claws to do that. Now, that ain't inspired. That's a Berkeley County book. But this is what it said. It said the reason a bird don't fall off a limb at night is because when he bends his knees, he gets a grip on the limb. I call it the branch. Are you listening? You know what's going to keep us from falling? Somebody help me. Every time we bend our knees, we get a tighter grip on the branch. Hallelujah. Hey, and in the crisis of life, hey, I can sleep and be content because I can bow my knee and He gives me a grip on the Son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. His eye is on the sparrow. If He's got a little sparrow there, and when He created him, put some tendons in his little leg, so when he bends his knees, he won't fall off and break his neck at night. You think He cares about us? Somebody help me. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Hey, in this hour, is this your hour? Have you come to a camp meeting this year? I'm coming to enjoy the camp meeting. Praise God, we've had a time. But maybe your house come tonight. All the good things you've been doing is wonderful. But you're not doing what God really saved you for. And I don't know what that would be. Maybe it's Africa. Maybe it's Argentina. Maybe it's to be faithful in your attendance. Are you listening? Maybe it has to do with your attire. Hello. Have you ever seen a day that it's so hard to get people to dress right? Some ain't right in your heart. You will never fulfill what God... if you can't deal with that little issue, and that's we say little is the biggest issue we're dealing with. Maybe not, you need to come down now and say, God, this is it. I've come to the house. I want to do the will of God. Whatever it takes. My wardrobe, whatever it takes. Amen. It might be Africa. It might be Argentina. It might be just walk down an aisle. Hey, somebody says, surrender to preach. Surrender to mission. No, just surrender. Won't you just come surrender tonight? Hey, you don't have to have God write it out before you do it. Just come surrender tonight and say, hey, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm surrendering tonight. And God will show you what He wants you to do. Hey, folks, we all know this. This probably been said 100 times in this meeting. Hey, our time is short. The hour is about to come that He's coming back. And our life is so short. I probably preached this here last year. It don't really matter. Or I preached it somewhere. So y'all just bear with me. But I'm telling you, this gripped my heart. Our life's like a vapor. Appears for a little while, vanishes away. But you know what? Vapor is not only is it temporary, it's transformed. Are you listening? Vapor was once water. But now it's been transformed into a gas. Vapor was once a solid. Now it's a gas. Is anybody listening? I'm glad God can transform our life. You know what vapor does? Vapor seeks higher things. Water seeks lower things. Hey, water seeks earthly things. Vapor seeks heavenly things. Water makes mud puddles. Vapor makes clouds. Hey, I have never seen anybody come by and say, that's a beautiful mud puddle. But I've seen a lot of people look up in the sky and say, that's a beautiful cloud. Do you know how that cloud got there? It come out of that mud puddle. That mud puddle was dirty and filthy, amen. But now it's in heaven and it's beautiful and white. You know what got that mud puddle to be a cloud? The sun. Hey, I tell you what, about 40-something years ago, my life was all muddy and dirty and messed up. But the sun sucked me up and made something beautiful out of my life. Yeah, life is temporal, but thank God it can be transformed by the sun. Why don't you come forward tonight and let God transform your life? Realize the hour for which God saved you. Us pastors, hey, we go back home. God might be got an hour for you to start another ministry. Amen. When God put this on me about 5 years ago, I said, God, I'm an old man. I'm too old to start something else. I mean, I'm gonna kick it back and cruise on in, so to speak. You can't do that. I'm gonna cruise on in. I mean, I got a good church. They're taking well care of me. I'm driving a nice car. I'm living in a comfortable house. I'm just gonna cruise on in. I'll be 70 soon. He said, no, I want you to start this. Debt free. We was debt free. Didn't owe nobody nothing. I am deeper in debt tonight than I was when I first got there. But I'm enjoying it.
Amen.
Are y'all listening? Maybe God's got this out for you tonight. This ain't been real camp meeting-y, but this is what God told me to preach. Hey, God has got it. Maybe your hour's coming tonight to be saved. To be saved. That woman was 82 years old and got saved. Maybe God's got something for you in this hour. Let's stand, Brother Robert. You come. We'll stand. Father, I bow my unworthy head, Lord, before this great congregation. And Lord, I hope I hadn't said anything tonight that would draw any attention to me. I wanted you to get the glory. Do that tonight. Please, please, you get the glory. Help somebody get help tonight. Help somebody to maybe go out there a little further. Jesus went a little further. God, maybe somebody tonight could go a little further and realize the aisle for which you saved them. And then God, help that one tonight that's lost without Christ to come tonight in repentance and get help and get saved. In Jesus' name, amen. You come, Pastor. Get some help. Get some help, Jesus.
Mind the Lord tonight. There's no doubt in my mind this is the hour for some probably to be saved in this meeting. He made the statement while he was preaching something to the effect that there may be some here who are at a crossroads in life, and the decision you make tonight is going to affect the rest of your life. It may affect where you spend eternity. You might feel like you're at a crossroad tonight, and I would encourage you to choose you this day whom you will serve. If you're not saved, would you come to the Lord tonight? Might be a young man, young woman, even an older man or woman, and you know God's put something in your heart. I'd ask you to come. Surrender to the Lord. Folks are still coming. Won't you come? Surrender to the Lord. May be some folks in this building tonight. There's never been a time when you bowed your head, got on your knees, and said, "Lord, I surrender. Whatever, whenever, wherever, however, I surrender." And this may be your hour. God's dealing with your heart about absolute surrender. Really feel God is dealing tonight, speaking tonight. He won't force you, but He'll bless you if you'll follow Him. Around this altar praying, won't you come? Be for you tonight, and ask you to mind God.
Multitudes were gathered on a hill near Galilee to hear the words of Jesus and His miracles to see. But as the day wore on, the disciples came to say, there's not enough to feed them, Lord, should we send them away? But from a little boy's basket of 5 barley loaves of bread and the 2 fish, 5,000 hungry people would be fed. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know. Basket, you don't have to ask, it's the least I can do. In each and every life there's a basket filled with good, although we may not use it as often as we should. So many throw it all away or keep it for themselves, while others never use it, they just place it on a shelf. Lord, I know that what you've done for me, my basket can't repay. But maybe with it, you could feed some hungry soul along the way. Lord, here's my basket. It's not much, I know. Please don't refuse it. Maybe it will grow. Although I could keep it, I'll give it to you. So, Lord, here's my basket. You don't have to ask, it's the least I can do.
Tonight, I really have a burden in my heart that there may be some here that's not minded God. What kind of choice are we making?